This is the last chapter in the book of Ephesians. As you're turning, I'd just like to welcome those who are watching with us right now. It's lovely to have you with us. Let me just say, I'm not quite sure how you may be watching us. There's a number of ways to do so, but I do want to note we have extensive issues and answers notes for this for submission and children. And it's there on our website, www.graceevfreechurchva.org. And you'll get to the main page, and then you'll click Issues and Answers, then click Family, and you will find the notes right there. And it's called Raising Godly Children. We very likely may be referring to these later on, but if not, I want you to be aware that it is there for you. It's a compilation of notes that we've taken through the years. It's not all mine. I've worked with others, and this is a compilation that we've all come up with. And I know it's been found to be very helpful. And so I wanted to be sure that you're aware of that right off the top. And of course, the standard notes are available right there called Submission and Children. Why don't we begin with reading the first four verses, have prayer, and then I want to alert you to a significant problem and situation, and then we'll get right into the Word. Paul writes the Ephesians when he's talking about children and parents here in the first verse of chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Our Father, as we come to you now, we're entering a part of your creation that you've established, the family. And you've only established two social institutions of which we're aware, the church and the family. That's it. And you've given us very specific instructions, some of which we've been going through as we've talked about submission to fathers and submission of wives, and now we're here to submission of children. So I pray, Father, that all of us think back. We either have children or grandchildren, or we're in charge of someone's child from time to time. I pray that you'd help us to understand the vast responsibility that it truly is. The interactivity that's going on between the Holy Spirit and between the authority and between the child, how it's an instruction for all of us. And Father, we would especially pay heed. I'm really surprised at some of the reactions I've gotten when it comes to, as we're going to get to, the rod aspect of a child, how it's been so misunderstood, and some have actually been not just shocked, but broken down over it. That's why it's so important, Lord, that we pull your word apart and that your Holy Spirit infuse us with understanding, and out of that comes wisdom, the ability to know what is right and what is wrong. So I pray, Father, as I prayed in driving in this morning, for every heart that listens, that what I say may be biblically correct, infused with the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing both comfort and conviction. And it's in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. I was literally alarmed. I was aware of it. For those who are watching in China, I have a much better understanding of what you were talking about a few weeks ago when you were in touch. This is an article this week appeared in National Review. If you get the notes by email, I've hyperlinked this article for you. You can get it. You should get it. It's talking about the current premier of China, who is significantly ramping up religious persecution. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but listen to part of it. Demanding psychological submission to the Chinese Communist Party, known as the CCP, teachers in China are feeding school children intensely anti-Christian propaganda, building on the new regulations on religious affairs that ban anyone under the age of 18 from entering a church. I knew, I was shocked too. Bitter Winter, an Italy-based publication, is reporting that Chinese persecution of religious groups published anonymous accounts of children returning home from school and chastising parents because of their faith. Their kids are told that Christianity is a cult and that if they love their parents, they will warn them not to participate. Just one more thing here. Chinese officials do not simply want to contain Christianity, they are out to eradicate it. And you can get that, National Review. I think you need to get it so we know better how to pray for our Chinese brothers and sisters who have been in touch with us. But I think it goes to the point. You see, if you can get to the children, you have a much better chance of eradicating something, don't you? I mean, I'm 60, you forget about it. But the children, because the Chinese know they're the future, you understand? And so I think we all get that. I also, as we're going to point out here later, Jesus had specific warning to those who would mislead a child. That it would be better for a millstone to be tossed around their neck and tossed into a lake than to mislead a child. I can assure you that those who have mislead a child or whatever they've done with a child that was not biblically correct, they face a certain harsh punishment. Let me just say this on the punishment aspect. I was in a conversation with my father-in-law this week. He happened to come across the testimony of an individual whom he knows. Individual did not know Christ, had very much a near-death experience, didn't die, but sensed the flames of hell. And as soon as he got back to consciousness, accepted Christ as his personal Savior. I want you to know that the punishment of which the Lord speaks is true. It's intense, and it is everlasting. Kind of sets the stage for what Paul is talking to us a little bit about here when it comes to children and submission. Well, we're going to talk about what children should do, but children generally follow what parents do, which is why Paul had it in the right order. We're going to talk about the parents first. Then we're going to get to the wee ones. So here we are, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, I've only got two words we're going to highlight here, but I'm going to give you a lot of commentary as we go through it, because it's going to be absolutely essential and fundamental as we get to the end of this discussion. The first word that we have here is obey. Now, I want you to notice, I even left it in your notes here, because you're going to find that the Greek is very helpful. The Hebrew is going to be absolutely essential when we get to this. It says obey, and in the Greek it means to submit to a command. Okay, that part we get. Now he's speaking to children, so let's keep that in mind. And it is in the present active imperative, which it is to say to children, in the moment, consistently, you must obey your parents. That's what that means. Now the Lord is laying groundwork here with the assumption that mom and dad, to whom Paul has already addressed, know the Lord as Savior, are in the Lord in their daily lives, are paying attention to their spiritual growth, are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, who is taking this word and making literal, true application of it to their hearts, which affects their minds, which affects their actions and their reactions. Therefore, they're not misguiding their children or mistreating their children. That's the whole scenario that's been set up here. Children, in a response, because your parents are godly, they represent God, and this is, you'll find psychologically, they tell you that the impression of God upon a child is mom and dad, because they don't know any other authority. So if you're making a hash of it, that's how they view God. If you're living correctly, that's how they view God. You see how important this is? It doesn't say that God can't break through that, and he does each and every day. But if we do it God's way, it's so much more effective. So kids, present, active, and imperative, this is what you must do. There's a second word here, and it means right. Now, we think we would know that. Right actually means righteous. Righteous is coming strictly from the word. There is none righteous except God, right? Therefore, do it God's way, and you will be right, which is righteous. Now, righteousness is one of the chief attributes of God, and with God as ourselves, who are created in the image of God, our conduct reflects character. Our conduct reflects character. The Bible is not like going to the Golden Corral. How many go to Golden Corral? For those that are watching, what in the world is that man talking about? It's a smorgasbord restaurant. It's always packed, and I'm amazed. I was watching them. We went just recently. They can't bring the food out in these tubs fast enough. I mean, only in America, right? And I mean, people just, it's like locusts. They swarm on this thing. And Caroline's trying to get that chicken leg, which, you know, she finally got the last one, you know, type thing. But I love Golden Corral, but the Bible is not like going to Golden Corral where you can pick and choose what you want or you don't want to consume on your plate. No, God has his standards, which are unchanging, righteous, always right, reflecting his essence. Now, we who are in Christ, we reflect the very same because he lives within us, or at least we should. Peculiar to the West, especially American Christians, is this pick and choose attitude, which flies in the face of, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, all of my commandments, Jesus said. So let's get to the literal interpretation. It's straightforward, but it's amazing how much it's rejected. Children, always obey your parents in the Lord because this is right. Isn't it interesting because this is right is tacked on to an imperative specifically to children? And as we're going to discuss, the notion of children raised by a village is completely antithetical to Holy Scripture. In no way should you turn a child over to your neighbors, much less this culture, which is vigorously anti the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, a child is your responsibility, mom and dad. And don't think bringing them to church that you passed them off. Thought I'd tack that in there. Okay, let's get into it now. And what I want to do is I want to take each verse. There's a key word for each verse of the four verses. So let's kind of take a look at this. And again, we're continuing this concept of submission, Paul's instruction regarding children, and two things I wanted to bring there. It's in your notes here. Paul's instruction is specifically flexible in application. Okay, that comes as a shock to some of the conservative people watching. And it also, it's underscoring parental investment. And a lot of parents don't view it that way. If you have been vested with a child in any way, shape, or form, there goes your time, there goes your attention, and there goes instruction, and there goes tears, and there goes laughing, and there goes everything with it. And God has designed it. Mom and dad, you are engaged. Now, I agree, moms carry a lot of the burden. And like it was in many houses, it was in mine, Caroline would often use, wait till your father gets home, and then they knew it was all over. It was just all over. Flexible in application, underscoring parental investment. Let's start with the first word here, verse 1. Of course, we've talked a bit about it. Obedience to one's parents is a God-given duty to every child. And Proverbs here teaches this, that those who listen to their parents gain wisdom. Listen to Proverbs 13:1. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. And you've got it here in your notes. Learning to live wisely includes learning what? Respect at home. Fostering respect for others. Especially when they leave home. Even young Jesus, though he was the Son of God, obeyed his earthly parents. And as a result, what does Luke 22 say? He grew in wisdom. Listen to Luke chapter 2 at the end of it. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. The Bible says that children who are not disciplined, who fail to obey their parents, are much worse off in life. Did you know that? I mean, it seems perfectly obvious to us, but it's obvious because God said that's the way it was going to go. Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." So you see, when Paul says that you have got to be invested in your children, this is the main reason why. They're reflecting the character of who they are. They're reflecting the character of mom and dad, the character of the home, which is supposed to be reflecting the character of God. Anything that goes wrong in the telltale signs means there's something deeply spiritually wrong at the very beginning, which is the relationship and reflection of God. I mean, that's where we start in counseling. We don't start with a kid. I've often said, you want to know what a family's like? You just ask the little one. They'll tell you. They'll tell you. Well, that's verse 1. Verse 2. I want to talk about honor here. And the word cannot be separated from the idea of honor, and it means this: to revere, to prize, and to value. That's what Paul is calling kids to do. And in this passage again, it's a verb. It is demanding a right action. And God values honoring parents enough to include it in the Ten Commandments, doesn't he? So honor has more to do with one's attitude of respect towards one's parents. And let me throw this in. You got it in your notes, but I really want to put it there because we've seen a little bit of this here in our own home here recently. Grudging obedience does not conform to the command. Grudging obedience does not conform to the command. Why? God always looks at the heart. God always sees the intent. And while a child may go to their room and do something you've told them to do, and if they go, "I don't want to do this, blah, 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 complain, blah, blah," that is not a heart that is honoring. And it will be judged, just like it's judged with us. When God calls us something to do, do you do it grumblingly? Well, then you've just lost the blessing. Those who honor their parents are blessed. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 35. "But to the house of the Rechabites, Jeremiah said, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel.'" Now listen to this. "Because you have obeyed the command of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts and done all that he commanded you, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall never lack a man to stand before me." In short, the right attitude keeps you in with God as a parent and as his child. So mom and dad, it is so incredibly important that you are, if you're in right relationship with Christ, then your right relationship with each other is so much better. And if you're in right relationship with each other, you are able to minister to your children, which is exactly what you're called to do. You are ministering to them. And just as we stand before God individually and as a couple, we bring our children before God. That Holy Spirit, break through whatever the challenge is at the moment. Holy Spirit, give them that wisdom and understanding and righteousness that only you can. And this is what I pray for my family, and I know exactly when I do it. It's right before I go through the first toll road on my way to work. I know if I'm right here in my prayer, I'm doing good. Hedge of protection around my family, both physically and spiritually. That's what I pray for every last one, by name. You see, you're investing in them. They never leave your consciousness. You know why? Because God has invested in you. You never leave his consciousness. He, through the Holy Spirit, is very much aware, more than you're aware of what's going on in your life and what's about to happen and what happened and how we're going to deal with it. The Holy Spirit is with you, and Oral Roberts was right. He's closer than your very breath. And you see, we are to mimic that with our children. Now, in contrast, those with a depraved mind and those who exhibit ungodliness in the last days are characteristically disobedient to parents. We were talking about this earlier this morning. Remember, Paul talks to the Romans about this, and then Paul brought it up with Timothy. Remember, Timothy's a young pastor. Needed a lot of coaching. It's interesting that this point came up with Timothy in Timothy 2. in 2 Timothy 3, for people who be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. Just hear the attributes of those who are disobedient to parents. I assure you, God does not hear them, much less have regard for them. Now why? That's a harsh statement. Their conduct reflects their character, which is clearly not of God. And let I remind you, John 9:31, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. What's the prayer that God does hear from a sinner? The prayer of repentance. I didn't write John 9:31. I know it goes against a lot of theology, a lot of chatting that's been done from pulpits. We're here to straighten the record. So obviously, we're commanded to honor our parents, but let's give some questions as to how. Okay, number one, honor them with both actions and attitudes. We kind of touched upon this earlier, but Mark 7:6, and he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now, there's only a way to share this with you, and that's from personal experience. And so my dad, he's kind of a loner, and you wouldn't hear from him. We would invite him over for holidays. That was about it. He lived less than 5 miles from us. It wasn't that he was mad at me. He's just a loner. He's just, you know. In fact, Whitney asked Caroline once, is Dad going to be like that? I do have a tendency. If I get down to my study, well, here I am. Don't know what's going on up there. Don't want to know, you know. Until, of course, he had that massive situation that he was out of his mind. He came out of his house, down his long driveway, stumbled on the side of the road. Someone came by that knew him, stopped. Les, are you okay? Ended up calling the rescue squad. Rescue squad takes them in. I had been listed as the person to call. I get this call from Winchester Medical Center. Never really gotten a call from them before. I said, Mr. Raker, we have your father, Les Raker, here in the emergency department. I think you need to come. Okay. This is weird. So I get there. I find him in the emergency bay, trying to figure out what had happened. I mean, he's like out of it. He's just sitting there. He kind of knows I'm there, and the doctor was doing something to him, and it was interesting because Dad, I was sitting right next to Dad. Dad was sitting here, and the doctor was standing here trying to do something to him, and Dad kept telling me things, and I kept going, yes, sir, I will do that, sir, yes, sir, I'll take care of that, not to worry, yes, sir. On the third yes, sir, the doctor's looking at me like, because it's rare to have a kid come in and say yes, sir, especially when he's half out of it. But that's the way I was raised. That's the way to honor and respect a parent. So I said, yes, sir. Second point is this on honoring a parent. When it became evident that he couldn't live by himself, we took him in. And a poor portion of the basement was unfinished, and so we invested and we built him an apartment. And we put in an entire kitchen. And it was funny because one of his friends from where he used to live came over. Now, Dad doesn't like visitors, but came over anyway. And so Dad decided to show him downstairs. So he says, this is where I, blah, blah, blah. And the guy looked at my dad and said, my kids would never do this for me. And I thought to myself, I hope you heard that, Dad. I hope you heard that, right? But honor with actions and attitudes. Here's a second one. Honor their unspoken as well as spoken wishes. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to his rebuke. Proverbs 13:1. Okay, Tony, how did you do this one? Well, it's not that I sat down and figured, how can I do this one? But I can tell you, when we were smaller, we all had jobs. I mean, I was telling Lorelei at dinner Friday night, my mother's passed away. I don't think she really remembers my mother. No, But I was telling her a little bit about my mother. And I said, well, Lorelai, at 5 years of age, there were three kids at home. We were cleaning our rooms at 5 years of age. And here's the flexibility we got. You can clean it Friday night or Saturday morning, but it's going to get clean. And there would be inspections. Well, I remember one time I decided to do it on a Saturday morning, and I was kind of hungry. But my mother, she wanted us to eat fruit, but she always bought the bargain fruit. And half of it really wasn't very good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I wanted apples that big. She'd buy the little ones like that. Well, I took an apple. I was upstairs. I was cleaning. This apple's awful. And so there was a window at the side of my room. And below that was the bay window of the entire kitchen. Oh, yeah. Only to me can this happen. I hate this apple. Throw open that side window. Keep cleaning. My mother shows up in the doorway. I believe you dropped this. I have washed it for you. And I will stand here as you finish it. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. You didn't get it. My mother was the original MBI, Mother's Bureau of Investigation. Yeah. But we were young. We had a poodle, Sherry, good dog. I was in charge of bath time. This is how I knew when it was time to give the dog a bath. My dad would just walk through, I seem to smell that dog. And that was all he ever said. Oh, man, we got that dog. Whip that dog in water. Put slather some all over the place. That's how we did it. I don't know how your house was, but honor their unspoken as well as spoken wishes. You see what we're engendering in children? Now, you may think mom was kind of tough or dad was kind of tough. You know what? We left our kids with Fred one time. We had an opportunity to go down to Ravi Zacharias down in Florida to represent him, and I forget how it all came about. Well, we left our kids with him for the weekend. They were pretty small. And he had always said, you guys are too hard on those kids. Until we got home. I understand why you guys are hard on those kids. Yeah. Honor their unspoken as well as spoken wishes. There's a third one here. Jesus, just as Jesus loved us in our sinful state, we can honor, and this is a tough one, we can honor an abusive parent. As a matter of fact, I have a whole sermon on this. I'm not going to preach it, but I know that a lot of people come from what we would term abusive homes. And here's what it means. If you're a believer in Christ, you have the responsibility and can be empowered by the Holy Spirit himself to show grace and compassion to those who don't deserve it. Caroline's mother always comes to mind. Divorced when she was young, Fred was the first one in Ohio, in the state of Ohio, to win custody of a daughter. And living with Jean was difficult. She was a very difficult person. She had five husbands, shot one. Got away with it. Spent millions. They bought Frank Borman's old townhouse in Coral Gables, Florida. Frank Borman is the former head executive of Eastern Airlines, which no longer exists. Completely gutted it and redid it as if Frank was living so poorly. Now, absolutely destitute. And Caroline came all through that. And Caroline is the only one historically that kept in touch with her mother throughout, the only one. Her name was Mimi. We all had line Poppy, right? Her name was Mimi. The kids quickly named her Mimi to give you an idea of what the personality was like. But because of the love and the grace and the filling of the Holy Spirit, Caroline can still have communication with an abusive parent. So it's a lesson for all of us. Do you want to have a long life? Honor your parents. Why? Because God placed you under their authority and guidance, and because your attitude toward your parents is illustrative of your attitude toward God. Because he's the one that can erase the hurt. Only he can do it. And replace it with love and understanding. I remember we were in a restaurant once and some people over there, Fred was with me, really really annoying me, very abusive in their language. I have children at this table. And I said, I'm going over there. And he knows. He said, what are you getting mad about? They're unsaved and acting like it. What are you getting mad about? You see? Have a little understanding. Approaching them in that way probably get me shot anymore. Doesn't mean you can't do something about it, but watch it. Watch the, would Jesus go over there and slap them about? No, see? Well, there's a third thing here in verse 3. Probably ought to read it because everyone's forgotten it. Verse 3, oh, that it may go well with you and that you have a live long in the land. There's the promise. That's the promise. And it's the duty of fathers to train their children in a godly way via the Lord's word. If you think you can do it based upon how you were raised, just look how badly you turned out. No, it's based on the word of God. And in so doing, parents set their children up for the best chance for a long and prosperous life in this world. Remember, this is the first verse with a promise. And not only in this world, we're talking about treasures in heaven too. And I've given you a ton of verses that back that up. So children are encouraged in their obedience will bring blessing and long life, while disobedient children who dishonor their parents are admonished that their behavior will bring punishment and shame. Now let me ask you, I don't care how old you are, do you want to live a long life? Then honor your parents. And don't give me this thing about the United States government says 18, that's it. You will not find that in Scripture. If it was 18 in it, given everything I'd been through with my dad, Winchester Medical would have called me and said, that's too bad. Let me know how it turns out, click. No. Honor. Because you see, God has placed you under their authority and guidance, and because your attitude toward your parents is illustrative of your attitude toward God. It's kind of a real-life litmus test. When things go wrong in the family, how does it get handled? Real-life litmus test. God just letting us know, yeah, you got a ways to go. That's me. I beat her to it. There's another one here. It's the final one here in verse 4. And this is the one that caused, it was a friend who actually repented. I couldn't believe it. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, as children, we have a responsibility to obey our parents. That part we've gotten down, I think. And parents, you have a responsibility to instruct your children in the ways of God. We've gotten that part down. But even if one's parents are not following the command directed toward them, children still have the command to obey and respect their parents. What's the one caveat? If they're demanding of you something that is clearly anti-scriptural and goes against God. That's the only time that is legitimate disobedience. Now, as to discipline, and this is kind of where we want to kind of bring this little bit of a focus here, because I think this is where a lot of Christians have really gotten it wrong. Disobedience is not just a child's issue. The Bible shows us we all battle the desire to rule ourselves and do as we please because we're all born in sin and rebellion. There's a raft of scriptures I've given you there. Just look in the mirror, you'll be convinced of it. So this battle against self-rule can wage an all-out war on our children if their disobedience is left unchecked. And here's a, I want you to get this. This is why it's so critically important. You may think you're in warfare, and you are. This is spiritual. And it's a war that's going to impact your child's future relationships with teachers and employers and friends and spouses and aging parents and even the Heavenly Father. Yet when we turn to the Bible, we find great hope in the fact that God gives us the tools to train and discipline children and even promises blessing to those who learn and grow in obedience. So, for instance, the Bible teaches the necessity of correcting disobedient children. How many agree with that? Absolutely. Here's Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope, and do not be a willing party to their death. Uh-oh, what's that mean? That means when you don't do your part and those kids don't turn out, you don't blame those children, you look here first. There's no blame shifting in this. I don't care whether you're with your wife or not. There is no blame shifting in this. And in this verse, discipline of a child is presented as a matter of life and death. And disobedience left unchecked will lead a child to eventual ruin. Listen to Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. And here is the hit, so to speak. And people ask me all the time, why do you always bring up the Greek? Well, I don't think I do it a lot. I do it to make sure that we have proper understanding. I mean, that's the original language. It was written in Koine Greek. And now we're going to do a little bit of the Hebrew. And you're going to think that this is pretty nitpicky until all of a sudden it's not. We're going to go through this carefully. Look at the last paragraph of your notes before the conclusion. I don't normally read from it, but I'm going to do it. In the Hebrew, and we're referring to Proverbs 13:24 and other verses here. In the Hebrew, a rod always references an object, like a stick used for measurement, a symbol of authority, or a staff used to herd sheep. In the Hebrew, the rod is always metaphorical. Just like Lamentations 3:1. In fact, you can find this throughout the Old Testament, but here's one. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. God didn't take a stick and beat the man. God used circumstances in order to instruct the man. See the difference? So, instruction under the rod is to be consistent and true. It emanates from a legitimate authority God has given you as mom and dad. It establishes boundaries, which is what we do with our children, just like God does with us. There's a reason why I don't do things the world does. We watch a lot of British television. It's amazing how many people sleeping with everybody else but their wives. It's just incredible. I don't do that, because God said no. And D, it compels action or change. And as such, no scripture prescribes a specific form of discipline, but emphasizes such must be effective and relevant. But here's the point. Here's why my friend kind of broke down over the whole thing. He said, I've literally been beating my children because I thought that's what Proverbs meant. And I said, how's that going? They won't even talk to me. Wonder why. But Tony, I had been taught not to spare the rod. And it's perfectly legitimate. Not to spare the rod of instruction and compassion and boundaries. Not beating them every time they do something. And oh, by the way, there's a huge, let's go back to cleaning the room. My parents rarely raised a hand to us. But there's a huge difference in little Tony forgetting to clean his room and little Tony refusing to clean his room. Are you going to beat me for forgetting? No, that's not a wise administration. Should we always refrain from spanking? No. I've shared with you, I've never had a little trouble with him since. Little Sheppy, 3.5. every Tuesday night, Anthony and Whitney, they go to a Bible study and they leave the kids with us, so we have a great time. We take them out to eat and we have a great time with them. Well, you know, Sheppy's 3 and a half. He didn't want dad to go. And he actually followed him into the street. Well, that's a real no-no. And Anthony, he was like, so I went over. I tried to pick him up. He ran from me. You're going to run from me. So I picked him up and he started doing this. And I swatted him. I said, you don't do that. And then he did something else. I swatted him again. And Anthony's standing there like, I'm not going to beat him, you know. I have not had another problem. They have been in the yard on other Tuesday nights, and Sheppy will go after something in Lorelei's hand that he wants it. Hey, knock it off. Okay. It's amazing how well that works. But I gave him the instruction too. I said, hey, she's not going after your Paw Patrol watch. Oh, he loves Paw Patrol. He's not going after your, so you leave her alone. You leave her have her little lemon thing. It's a thing of, you carry stuff to wash your hands with. She loves the thing. I don't know why. Smells good, I guess. He wanted that lemon thing. No, she's not after your Paw Patrol watch. You leave her have her lemon thing. Okay, Poppy. And that was the end of it. And that's how it should go. And then you know what? After I barked at him, I love you, honey. Okay. I mean, he knows it's over. It's over. And the only time Poppy ever brings it up is in sermons. And someday he's really going to hate that. But I'm not going to bring it up with him personally. I'm not going to say, remember the time? I'm not doing that. Because doesn't God forget our sin too? It's amazing how we bring it up all the time. It's amazing how one couple look at another. Well, I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget. That is not forgiven. That is not forgiven. So you see, God has set this up to where, yes, the rod, not a rod. A rod is a stick. The rod is consistent and true instruction. It emanates from a legitimate authority. It establishes boundaries, and it compels actions for change. Okay, so what do we do if we have to do the a rod thing? Well, I just gave you an example with little Sheppy. But let me give you one example here, and I don't think she's listening, so, you know, it won't get back to her. Little trouble with Lorelei was shocking this Friday. It got so bad, my wife, who's not a timid person, cowering in her office, doesn't want to go out to the main part of her own house because of the argument that's going on between Whitney and Lorelei. And it's all over this mathematics business, and personally, I think they fouled it up at the school. They're not teaching Abeka. They're doing something else. It's ridiculous. Half the class is failing. I think that's really part of the problem, but I can't blame that on Lorelei's reaction, see? You can't. You can't make excuses. You can't rationalize this, which is the lowering of a standard, right? So you hear all this going on, and Caroline calls me. It's like spy stuff. Tony? Yeah? I'm talking normal, right? Tony? Yeah? They're arguing. Who's arguing? Lorelei and Whitney. Really? Anthony's having to come. Whitney called Anthony and said, I can't deal with it. You're kidding me. That would have been death in my household. Really? Did they beat her to death? No, the phone she got's gone. And I mean not just for a week. It's gone. It's gone. By the way, I don't mind that because she was playing on her phone with the other little girl next door, and they get online and they play this thing with other kids, and that you pay for this and get that. Well, they were getting that, and then they would click off their phones before they had to pay, which is a form of stealing. Well, Poppy, it's not real. Oh, it is real. It's all about what you're learning and you'll do as an adult for real. Now she's 11. Cut her some slack, all right? Just needs the instruction, right? And part of the rod is to take away the phone. It's gone. I actually made the mistake before I knew the whole story. I walked in and she was in the bedroom right immediately adjacent to the front door there. And I took her by the arm. She said, I lost my phone. I said, you want me to angle to get it back? You want me to lobby for you? I didn't know the story yet. And she went, no, no, that's not going to work, Poppy. You see how that little word a or the in Hebrew is so critically important, which is why my friend broke down on the phone? Because he thought he'd been living right and just before God, beating his child, which was only causing resentment. What's that verse say? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. That's what he was doing. Well, what's the conclusion? Where do we stand? It's very short. But let me ask you with a sincere heart, being a child of God is our first step. Have you taken yours? Father, right now, there may be a mom or a dad who's had the best of intentions and done it all wrong, and we have all been there. I just ask through the power of your Holy Spirit that they will recommit themselves to the true biblical way of handling a child. That as we correct our misunderstanding by going to the Word, that you renew this life within us and our admonition to live by the Word, that we can take children into our arms. And one of the lessons is this, honey, Daddy made a mistake. Will you forgive Daddy? Mommy made a mistake. Will you forgive Mommy? And we teach them how you deal with us so that as they grow and develop their relationship with you, we model exactly what it should be. I pray for every mom and dad right now that you'll grab them by the heart, that this issues and answers posting in the family section will be of help to them, will guide them, will give them great suggestions from a biblical perspective of how to interact and literally how to raise their children. But let me also pray for moms and dads that we would show love and honor to our parents and to our elders, that we would be very careful not to injure our relationship, not to no longer pay attention or relegate them in any way, shape, or form. And I pray for children who are being so misled in places like China. The premier has no idea what he's in for. The second the breath leaves his body, he has no idea what he's in for. But I just pray, even in that oppressive situation, you will prevail. Your Holy Spirit is so much bigger than anything that Communist Party can put out there. I pray that you'll give children understanding, that you'll give parents understanding and every assistance, that together they can maintain their family life and be honoring one to another and to you. And it's in Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. We have communion this morning. Stay seated and I will serve you. Paul instructs us in Corinthians to be very careful at this particular moment, speaking of instruction. That is, not to harbor sin, known or unknown, because he said some of the folks at the Corinthian church had unexplained illness, and some had actually passed away, all because they harbored sin during this particular moment of communion. Now, I'm not saying it's transubstantiation, I'm not saying it's consubstantiation, but I am saying this: the Holy Spirit is present. That's what I'm saying. So we're going to take 30 seconds and allow the Holy Spirit to work within our hearts to confess anything obvious that needs to be done, but to remind us of any sins of omission, that we may be clean as a fellowship before we partake communion. And the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. Take this in remembrance of me." And Father, we're so grateful that we have the opportunity to partake of communion as individuals, because you laid the path of salvation before the foundation of the earth. Jesus came in complete humble submission right to the cross, shedding his innocent blood. And your Holy Spirit makes application in each and every life, which brings us together as a fellowship, as Jesus Christ is the tie that binds, and the Holy Spirit is the one that has preeminence here at Grace Evangelical Free Church. And for that, we praise you and bless your holy name. And it's in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Let me just give you a little preview for next week, and I think it's going to get a lot of attention. Slaves and submission. That's the next verse in Ephesians 6. What does that mean in our culture? Stand with me if you would. We'll sing the doxology, and then we will be dismissed.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
May you not only consciously submit to your Heavenly Father, but may you live a life of submission, joyfully, thankfully, until he brings us back together again. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you so much.